Blog Talk Radio. Okay, it's time for the Spanish Coffee Hour with JD and Forte. And I had to do some stuff in the background, so we had a long intro. Anyway, JD, are you there?
I'm here, brother.
Thanks. All right, well, we're here second week in a row with you. Last week's show went very well. What do you have in store for us tonight?
Pretty much everything, anything you would like to ask or know about, pretty much random. I don't even know where to start, so pretty much just far away with things you need to know. Or we was doing a part two from
well, you know
last
what? Wait a minute. I think somebody, you might have a caller already. 215, your mic is open.
Hello, how you doing, Mr. V? How you doing?
Fine.
What's going on, brother?
Hey, Forte, what's up? So, V, how's the Spanish going, man?
Ah, man, muy, muy bien, excelente. ¿Y usted?
Yo también. ¿Y tú también, V?
Yo.
I'm still working on it. I'm only putting in about an hour a day, so I got a ways to go.
It's all good, man.
I know how to read and write more than speak.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, you just, you know, just talk.
I need to reverse that.
just do what I do, man. What I do, I just talk with the folks, and I just hear it verbally.
Right, that's what I've got to do instead of just reading and writing. The reading and writing, I can pick that up pretty easy.
See, that's the thing. I have problems with reading and writing. I don't do it much. I got to learn that.
Right. But anyway, yeah, this is JDN's basically. I'm just running the board. So JDN had a very good show last night. So he's really the host. Oh, wait a minute.
All right.
Yeah, JDN, this is really, I'm just running the board for him.
All right. So, JD, I want to ask, since you live in Tijuana, San Diego is like right there. So is there a lot of people that speak English in Tijuana?
No, not at all. I mean, yes, it is very close to the border. But just like every city has its tourist spots, you know, in different countries. So in Tijuana, maybe about 10 minutes from the border between the San Ysidro border, which is a city in San Diego. If you go about 10 minutes into Mexico, you're going to be in El Centro. That's pretty much the downtown of Tijuana. That's the tourist area. So you're going to really see a lot of Americans, and not only Americans, but foreigners from different countries. I mean, from China, from the United Kingdom and Canada. So you'll see all of those tourists. So only really that part that I know of has a heavy English influence when it comes to tourists out there.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Yeah, because I got to check it out over there. I'm all the way in Philly. Like, we don't know much about Tijuana.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mexico is really, really big. I mean, Tijuana is just one city within the country, so it's a lot to explore.
Yeah, and what's the town you're talking about? You say you went to, you call it Black Mexico. What's the town again?
Well, the major city is called Acapulco, and that's pretty much the biggest city in Guerrero. And Guerrero is pretty much one of the largest Afro-descendant states in Mexico. So I just call it Black Mexico because 49% Afro descent makes up that state, so I mean that's a lot of Afro.
Oh wow!
Black Mexico.
So is it like according to like history, is it like the place where it's like the main port where the African slaves came to Mexico, and then it spread out after that?
Yes, that Acapulco and Veracruz, has a very, very large number of Afro descent as well, because Veracruz, if a lot of people don't know, and I've done a little bit of history about Veracruz, but Veracruz is I believe it's a city in Mexico, and it was actually the first community to have an established free slave citizens there. So pretty much when, you know, the Africans aligned with the indigenous population and they were allies and they fought against the Spaniards and they came up with a peace treaty with the Spaniards to have its own community of non-slaves or freed slaves, and that would have been indigenous or Native Americans and Afro. So if you live within that community of Veracruz, where it's called Gaspar Yanga Veracruz, you're no longer a slave. Just like in Canada, you know, that's why all the slaves from, you know, the U.S. were running to Canada, because, you know, Canada had different policies out there.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. I don't know. I think it's crazy. Like, us Americans, we don't know this, because I think the television, like Univision, Telemundo, a lot of these shows, they show you Mexican shows, but the people are, like, primary, like, Europeanish looking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, what I'm trying to say is I can't stand it. Like when they do it in televisions and movies, it's, like, hard to see what the real Mexican culture is like. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, it's really, well, the way that I see it, and this is just, you know, mi opinión, and I was watching a documentary on, I believe, a African Muslim, and he said that America has the most powerful influence to influence the world. I mean, it could be from our style, it can be from our dress code, the way we speak. We influence all different parts of the world. You know, that's the beauty of the United States of America. So when it comes to television and the media, you know, of course, like here in Mexico, you know, all of the programs, or, you know, Telemundo or Las Novelas, which is a very big popular show here in Mexico, it's really European based. So that's all the people you're going to see on TV is, you know, the more European looking professionals that, you know, you'll compare it to the USA. You won't rarely see any indigenous Native Americans or,
right,
you know, darker skinned people on, you know, on Las Novelas. It's because, America has influenced, you know, a lot of different parts of the world. So, of course, what they see on TV, a lot of people want to, you know, imitate the USA. So they try to live up to their standards. So that's how the media is out here in Mexico.
Wow, that's crazy. So is it really bad with the do they have, like, racism between, like, the white Mexicans and then the darkers after that?
Well, that's very interesting, because one of my friends here, you know, of course, she spoke to me in Spanish. She said that and I asked him, you know, because me being a black American, I get all love from all colors out here in Mexico. So he said Mexico has its own problems. It has its own discrimination within its own country. So, for example, you can be, you know, Afro descent from, for example, Guerrero, and of course, them being Afro Mexican, yes, they'll have discrimination. But if you're Afro American, you get a bigger status. You have higher rankings. You know, you see
money,
what I'm
right?
saying?
Because we Americans, they think that we have money, right?
Exactly, exactamente. Entonces, sí, hay mucha discriminación, pero no lo sé ahorita porque yo no fui, pero sí, en mucho tiempo. But in different areas, I'm sure they did go through a discrimination back then. I don't know how bad it is now because I haven't been there. But when I went to Acapulco and Guerrero and La Costa Chica, man, they are Afro prided out, man. I was heartwarmed. I was shocked because they're proud. They're proud to be black. You know, I asked them,
So you think they're more proud to be black than us over here, right?
Oh, of course. You know, you can even see in my YouTube video, with the girls from the Queens from La Costa Chica. You know, ellas dicen soy negra, and that means
wow.
I'm a proud black woman. You know, like no.
Yeah.
You can call me whatever you want, but soy negra, like I'm a
that's
proud black woman. Yeah, that shocked the hell out of me. That
yeah,
really shocked me, though.
Yeah, because you're saying, like, even though they're Mexicans speak Spanish, they say they're Negro. But the funny thing is, like, where I'm at, there's a lot of people who are, like, strong African descent over here. Like, it doesn't matter if it's Puerto Rican, Dominican, Colombian, whatever. But they be speaking, like you look at them, and you think they're, you know, black like all of us. And you'd be like, no, you're not so Negro. You're Hispano. You're Cubano. And they think that the Spanish is the way to clean, to escape it. I think it's crazy, man.
Sí, exactamente. It's only because I blame it on the system. I can't really blame it on the people because, you know, we were taught certain things in school. So we're very ignorant to an extent because we weren't taught in school. So if they don't teach us that there's other Afro descent people that look like us in other countries that their first language is, you know, for example, French. Or if it's, you know, Portuguese, or if it's Spanish, you know, they'll look at you why the fuck are you judging me? That's my first language is Spanish, so how are you going to, you know, look at me weird because that's their first language, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, just like me, for example, out here, you know, of course, you know, I speak Spanish, but when they first look at me, when they never see me, but they say something to me, and I respond to them in Spanish, they instantly think I'm Cubano, Dominicano, or, you know, from Panama. But if I speak in English, of course, they're going to assume that I'm from the United States, you know. But like I said, it's easy to categorize, you know, groups because if you look a certain way and you talk a certain way, we're going to throw you in that category. But if you talk a different way, we're going to throw you in that other category.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. Yeah, because I kind of experienced it. Like, there were times, like, I'm not saying – I'm cool with a lot of Hispanics, but there's some of them, you know, I'm not trying to put the hate, but I'm just saying I'm cool with a lot, but there's some of them, like – it's like they brainwash and they see, like, a lot of blacks are bad coming from the news and out there in the media and what to see, you know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is that I remember me and my friends, we went to a store to get some stuff, and my friend was, he's Hispanic. So the owner of the store, the Mexican lady, she looked at my friend with a smile on her face, but with me, she was looking at me like I'm about to steal something. And then what happened was I was speaking Spanish, and she totally treated me a lot different. She started treating me
exactly. Exactly.
So yeah, so what I'm trying to say is that I don't know. I'm thinking, like, don't you think, like, the USA make people more racist towards black? That's what I'm trying to say.
And here in Mexico, no.
No. In the USA, I'm talking about the USA now.
In the USA, in my personal experiences, I know that does exist out there, but of course we all are stereotyped when people look at us. But in my experience, I'll give you a perfect example. When I was on my way back to San Diego to pick up some mail, and I was on the train going back, and there was like maybe six teenagers, and they looked at, like, you know, they were from a gang, or I think they were Bloods. And in San Diego, a lot of Bloods and Crips are out here. So when they looked at me and I started speaking in Spanish, you know, randomly, they treated me a lot different. Like, holy shit, like, they didn't even want to look at me. But if I was like, what's up, cuz? What's happening? They would have instantly thought, okay, you trying to bang on us. Then they'll treat me like I was from the USA, and they treat me like I was a gangbanger. But since I spoke Spanish and they thought that I wasn't from the USA, they treated me a whole lot different. They're trying to be cool with me. You know, they're asking me how was Mexico. They want to take a trip down there. So they was mind shocked, but they treated me a lot differently as if I was from the USA.
That is crazy. So since you've been, how long you been living in Mexico?
For about casi dos años, like two
wow,
years.
2 years. So you don't miss, actually, Tijuana's right there. So you visit USA often. So I was going to say, like, if you miss it much, but not really.
Ni madres. No, I
cool.
I do not miss the USA, but I only go out there if it's money related or if it's business related or I'm picking up mail because I have a P.O. box or if it's if I'm going to go visit family.
Yeah.
Solo. no quiero otra cosa ahí, porque no quiero.
I don't blame you. In Tijuana, is it like I travel to a few spots outside the U.S., but when I tell them I'm American, they start to, like you were saying, they give me a lot of respect. At the same time, mm-hmm. a lot of the people in those countries I went to, they want to, mm-hmm. like, move to the United States. So do you get that a lot in Tijuana? Like, a lot of people want to move to America?
Honestly, when I first moved here, I've heard a lot of people did, but people out here in Mexico are starting to pick up on how the American media is destroying itself, and they're pretty much like, hell no, like, they would love to be here in their own country, and they actually enjoy, you know, their lifestyle out here in Mexico. It's like, yeah, it's a lot more money that you can make in the USA, but the people aren't even happy out there making the money that they make.
Thank you. Exactly.
They're making money to live, you know. It's a program. You know, you work a minimum wage job. You have roommates because you can't afford an apartment or a one-bedroom studio or whatnot. So you have to get roommates. You know, you have to worry about paycheck to paycheck, you know, and you work to live out there. I mean, that's just how I see it, you know. It's solamente mi opinión, nada más.
Yeah. No. I totally agree with you because I went to some spot. I went to Haiti and I went to the DR. The difference, even in Quebec, which is kind of similar, but when I went to those three areas, I feel like people are more relaxed. Like they spend less time in work, and that, it's like when you go places, more people in the streets. They take time to chill with their friends and family. And I remember when I go to restaurants with the folks, they're more willing to engage in conversations and stay long in a restaurant general. But America, when you hang with some folks, it's like they're in it texting heavy and they want to hear up and get out, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Claro, yeah. Es porque aquí en México es más tranquilo. It's more relaxed out here. It's more laid back. And a lot of questions that I get from, you know, my viewers or the people on my Facebook is that, are the girls or are the women in Mexico easy? And I don't use the term easy or difficult.
No.
I use the term open. They're very open-minded. You know, they're friendly. You know, that's how they're raised. Now, they're friendlier. And they're more open to talk to versus you have to have a plan in order for that girl to respond to you.
Oh, sí. Yo estaba pensando eso porque aquí en Estados Unidos yo tengo que pensar de todas las cosas que yo tengo que decir a ella. Si tú me entiendes.
Sí, entiendo.
Sí, pero allá, sí, verdad, que tú estás diciendo, porque allá yo pero andar por la calle simplemente hablando de muchas cosas, pero ya, también, sí. So it's
claro.
Mad cool. It's mad cool. So, yeah, I agree with you, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like I try to tell people, it does depend on how you carry yourself too out here. So if you act like a buffoon, you go get buffoon problems.
But I want to say this, though, because, like, it's keep 100. Like, most chicks in the U.S., you know, they're like the they're pretty much like the niggas, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So is it like that? And I know everywhere people do like, you know, dumb niggas, but is it like most people don't want that? They actually want a good dude?
I mean, in my experience, and I only speak from my experiences, of course, I mean, I can't really judge everybody, but I'm not a thug. I'm not, you know, a gangbanger. I never, you know, lived my life as that, but I've been around it. But I was never influenced by it. So as the women wanting the gangbangers, I'm sure there probably is, you know, a handful. But in my experiences out here, I haven't ran into a lot of them. And because there's not a lot of gangbangers out here, so it only makes sense. It only makes sense. Logically speaking, that if the women don't see a lot of gangbangers, they don't have the choice of picking gangbangers because they're not as common. out here, so they stick to, you know, they stick to what they know.
Okay, that's interesting. Since you're talking about violence, you're the perfect person to ask this question. In the news, a lot of times the news tell you something, but it's not really true. They just hype it up, whatever. But in the news, you notice they show you all these crimes going on in Mexico, especially in the border, and they just have news about El Capo. So what I'm trying to say is that, is it really,
El Capo, El Chapo, El Chapo Guzman. Now
El Chapo,
he
I'm
is.
Sorry, El Chapo. I'm sorry. I don't really know the guy. I don't keep up with the guy's name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can't even respect his name like that, man. Shit. No, I'm just playing. but El Chapo.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I want to say, like, since you're in the border, and then is it really true, like, Tijuana have, like, crime, or, like, is it, like, you know, really high, or just exaggerated from the media?
As of right now, today, I haven't seen any of it or experienced any of it. Now, if we go back into the 1990s and the early 2000s, the crime and drug rate was high as hell. And that's based off, you know, my resources and my studies, because I look at a lot of documentaries as well online. So, yes, it was bad in the 90s, but, you know, it started to slow down in the early to mid-2000s. So pretty much as of today, there's hardly – none that I've experienced. I mean, I'm sure there's little, you know, things here and there, but that's everywhere in the world. But, you know, as far as, like, other states, like, for example, I just watched a documentary on Michoacan, and it is so bad out there that, you know, the community built its own police system to take out the cartels. Like, pretty much they told the police, we don't want shit to do with y'all because y'all corrupted and y'all not helping us and y'all are scared to fight, you know, these cartels off. So we're going to build our own community army and, you know, go find these cartels and shoot them up ourselves.
Damn.
Yeah.
How far is that from Tijuana?
Michoacan and Avion and Plain, I have no idea, but it's far from here. I mean, it'll take a few days to drive down there, but that's just a documentary that I've seen, and that's, like, made in Mexico from, you know, Mexicanos. It wasn't, like, a bunch of Americans in it and things like that. This is, like, a pure Mexicano documentary or whatnot. But like I said, that is something that I came across. So as far as violence, you know, there's different states with violence. But in Tijuana, I haven't been around hardly close to zero.
Oh, cool. That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. I remember last week you were talking. You were talking about the Central Americans, the Guatemalans, Honduras, and Salvadorans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about there's a lot of them up in Tijuana. Like, for me, honestly, I don't know the difference between Central Americans and Mexicans like much. I could kind of tell by the way they talk, like Guatemalans, but can you tell exactly?
Me, honestly, it all depends on how if they tell you, because like I said, they look very familiar and similar as Mexicans. I just like saying, how can you distinguish a Jamaican from a Haitian? You know, they both have a lot of very common physical attributes because we descend from Africa, you know?
Yeah.
So you can't really distinguish, you know, a Guatemalan or a person from El Salvador or Mexico, especially deep in Mexico, like from Chiapas or like deep south next to the border of Guatemala, which is Chiapas and Oaxaca. Those are like the more indigenous population of the indigenous group. So the only thing that you can really distinguish is that if you ask them, but if they don't tell you, then who knows? I mean,
so
what is that? A fungo.
So it's easy for them to sneak over the border and nobody really know.
No, it's not really that. I mean, but when they, I mean, I don't, I'm not too into the system, how, you know, how the police, you know, run their operation, or it's called the ICE, or the Migras, which they go immigration hunting for, you know, illegals. So when I know that when the El Salvadorians and, you know, people from Honduras get captured, you know, they tell the police that they're from Mexico, because if they tell the police that they're from, you know, El Salvador or from Guatemala, what the police will do is ship them back all the way back to their country, and then they have to try to reattempt to try to get across the back the border. So if they just say, hey, look, I'm from Mexico, cool, I need to ship back to Tijuana, which is like 5 minutes from San Diego, and I can just make a reattempt to try to cross the border. So,
oh,
I mean, that's just how I see it. It's easier for them to make a reattempt if they want to cross the border again or try to cross the border again.
Yeah, yeah, because I heard that, like, I heard, like, Mexico's poor, but I heard that Central America is way worse.
Honestly, I haven't been to Central America, so I can't really speak on that. That's not my focus, but the little bit of information that I do have is that in Central America, there are a lot of Guatemalans and El Salvador, but yo no conozco mucho. I don't know a lot of them, so I really don't have too much experiences out there.
Yeah, let me get back to the topic. I know I'm going off topic, but I know the listeners want to hear this question. So how does the chicks out there in Mexico, they're like black dudes, especially if they speak Spanish?
Same question, man. And look, everybody that's listening, man, look, escúchame bien, muy, muy bien. Mexico, as far as I know in my experiences, they don't look at you as a big deal of color. They didn't grow up in a big racist society. But as they see on media, and of course when it comes to black guys, you know, they're very curious about our sex in bed, because we're very stereotypical based on the media that they see on TV. But other things as well that they told me is that, you know, they're very curious about our chocolate tone. You know, that's a strong desire to them. That's any black dude that I've brought out here or that's been out here, they'll say the same exact thing. You know, they're very curious about, you know, our chocolate skin color. They desire it, and it's just our physical features, you know. But when it comes to culture, they know shit about Americans or African Americans, because they can't cross the border. So the only thing that they can do is see us in person if we do decide to go out there, you know. But when it comes to culture, they don't have a clue. So as far as that, I mean, when it comes to, you know, brothers individually, the women, they love our natural physical attributes. And like I said, any black guy that I've been around out here will tell you the same thing with multiple experiences with the women out here. And like I said, people could think I'm just trying to promote black guys. Not like, nah, man, I love Edgar. Like, I'm just giving y'all my real in-person experiences. Like,
yeah.
And that's just what it is, you know. But there are, you know, white guys out here and Asians, you know. And but
yeah, of course.
I mean, I can't really speak on their situations, even though I hear a lot of stories about them. But you know, that's not my playground to speak on them like that. But when it comes to me being out here, they're very, very curious about, like I said again, our sex in bed with them and our physical features that they desire. That's just what they tell me. Hey, who knows? They could be lying. I don't know. But
I got you, man.
It always been a high number. They gave me the same responses. But being an American out here, the only thing that they really see, like, well, for me, it don't even matter about money no more. I used to think that, okay, I'm American, so they assume I got a lot of money, and I'm like an easy meal ticket to go over to the States. But they don't even want to cross the border and into the United States, you know. And in my experiences, you know, they just want to be, you know, treated out, you know, go to the movies, you know, I've seen it, and you know, like a rose, which is like a dollar out here, you know, go out, you know, para comer, you know, which is like $5. I mean, they just want to be
$5. Oh, snap.
Yeah, like taken out, like they just, exactly, and that goes a long way. So that's
no,
just
okay,
my experiences
that's...
out here, you know.
No, I hear you, man. It's mad cool because it just I believe he's saying it's just like it's different when you're out the country. I think it's like for a lot of us guys, it's like we're here in the U.S. We talk to these chicks over here. We don't get nothing, but you know it's just the U.S. So, yo, I've been talking so long, man. Let me get the other callers to give a chance. I gotta check out T1. I gotta check it out to see how it is, man.
Okay, yeah, definitely, man. Always feel free to ask any questions, man.
All right, no problem, man.
Okay, Jayden, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Okay, you have a caller. You could be stuck on. Your mic is open. Hello, caller. Your mic is open. You're either Skype calling or snoring.
Is he? All right. Go ahead.
Let me open it up again. Yeah, it seems to be smooth. Okay, if you have a question about Mexico to ask of JDM Fortex, call. You know what? I forgot to put this number. Oh, well, first thing, the people that are on the call in the studio listening, if you have a question, we got open lines.
Open lines.
Yes,
ask me now. Ask
yep.
me now. Forever hold your peace.
Yep. Press one. So we do have a number of people that are listening. I'm not going to get Eric, but anyway, just press. Oh, here we go. 267.
That's
your
Brother Brown.
Hello. How you doing?
Ah, muy, muy bien, y usted? Habla español, ¿verdad?
Ah, muy bien, muy bien, y tú?
Ah, muy, muy bien, gracias a Dios.
Ah, muchísimas, muchísimas gracias. Jayden, I want to speak off of the gentleman who just called. He mentioned that he was from the Philadelphia area, and as everybody knows, I live outside of Philadelphia in the suburbs. Ironically, the thing about Philadelphia and New York City are like night and day. In Philadelphia, it's funny, I've had Hispanic friends in the Philadelphia area for over 20 years, and visiting them and their families, I could hand count how many times I heard Spanish over their homes. But in New York City, it's Spanish every day, all day, up and down the street. If that gentleman was to go to Brooklyn or Bronx, oh my goodness, they wouldn't know him from a Cuban, from a Dominican. And what you mentioned earlier, it's the same thing with me. When I walk into the Dominican corner stores and get something to eat or whatever, and I start speaking, they got to ask me like 3-4 times, where are you from? Not me, America. No, your family. I'm African American. They do not believe you. And the way I heard that guy speaking Spanish, oh, they would definitely think he was from Cuba or Panama or somewhere.
Yeah,
now,
it's... Go ahead.
The one thing is, Jay, I want to ask you, if you've never answered this before, what got you into Spanish from the get-go?
Well, actually,
let me show you real quick. I took Spanish in high school like everyone else, most people. After high school, forgot all about it. And then I was in New York City for a Cinco de Mayo festival, and a Mexican lady was selling mangoes. And I said, how you doing, miss? How much are mangoes? And she couldn't speak English. I said, okay, let me see, I can do this. And I did the transaction entirely in Spanish, and I said, you know what, I got to get back into Spanish. And that's, I've been going ever since. That's what's got me going. One little motivation like that.
Nice.
What got you into Spanish?
Well, unfortunately, I was forced into learning Spanish, so One of my ex-girlfriend's family lives here in Tijuana, so we would usually take weekend visits out here. So after a few visits, I decided to live out here. So pretty much I had no choice. You know, but it's funny because I was lazy for about a year. Like, pretty much I was a knucklehead. I said, hey, I don't need to learn Spanish. I'm American. I have translate on my phone. But after about a year, that's got me nowhere. So maybe as of about last year, I've really started picking up Panther and Rosetta Stone. And it was pretty much just a refresher for me because all of the Spanish of being emerged into the communities out here, I've already picked up a lot. So going back to the programs has just helped me structure the correct form of Spanish, you know. But it's more with how I learned Spanish, it's Castellano. It's the original form of Spanish in Spain, La Idioma de España. But in Mexico, they speak, their words are a little bit different, but I can still speak like a local here. Or, you know, I can speak, you know, very properly when it comes to, you know, Castellano. It's a more respectful form of Spanish.
Oh, but if you are in Mexico speaking Espanol Castellano, they can understand you clearly.
They can, but here's the downfall. It's not really a downfall, but they pretty much think, like, wow, you think you're better than us, or, you know, We here in Mexico, we speak, you know, our version of Spanish, so you need to learn our version of Spanish. But I don't get a lot of hatred towards that when I speak Castellano or I use different words in Spain. But they just use words out here with a lot of different meanings. Like, one word can mean a lot of different things. For example, tomar. Tomar in Spanish here in Mexico means to take, to drink, you know, to grab. It has a lot of different meanings. But in Spain, to drink is beber, and beber is to drink. It's the correct form of Spanish in Spain. But, you know, I just picked up on both versions. So I usually use either or whenever I feel like it.
Okay, so there's something that you probably know very well, Marvin knows it very well, and it's that last question that you said gets asked all the time, how are the brothers meeting the Mexican women? When you learn the language and take a strong interest in the culture, you don't have to try to meet them. They're literally coming to you.
That's funny.
I've seen that. I mean, it's in New York City and Texas, when you're speaking Spanish, you are going to attract Spanish-speaking people around you like you just would not believe. And it's out of respect.
It's funny because I tell all the brothers, like, look, having sex out here with women is handed to you on a silver platter. That's a given. It's a commonality out here for brothers. But if you want the real thing,
I mean, I'm not even in Mexico, and I get that up here in the Northeastern United States. You speak in Spanish. Good Lord. Your family wants to know who you are. Your cousins.
Yeah,
everybody wants to know who you are.
So when you actually know Spanish and the women are surprised that you speak a good amount of Spanish, oh, wow, that's a different level right there. That's a complete different level. And you can actually interact with them. So, like I said, it's like bonus points to actually interact with them. But last night, I went out to a club, you know, with my little honey bun from Mexico. And I had a brother from Jamaica. He was down here. He used to come down here a lot because of San Diego. And women are just coming after him like every other second. He's always with a different, you know, woman. You know, he's enjoying himself, and he doesn't know any Spanish at all. But like I said again, this is where, you know, the natural African physical traits play a part. You know, he's very dark. You know, his pigment is, I believe, is either purple or blue. So he has that really rich dark chocolate, which the women are very, you know, wowed by out here. So, you know, it's very easy for him to be attracted by women when they come up, because it's that curiosity again.
Interesting. Yeah, and I, like I said, when I walk past people, I walk past them, I can understand what it is they're saying. I don't hesitate to say it. Excuse me, ma'am. How you doing, sir? I said, for me, Spanish can be a bit difficult, but, you know, your Spanish is very cute. Where are you from? And I was from Mexico, from Peru. I never talk back to you.
Yeah, and that's very funny, because the people out here, they tell me like that, like eres Mexicano, tu habla como Mexicano. It's like I pick up their slang down here, you know, not only Spanish, but the way that they speak it down here. So, you know, I get a lot of that, like, because I immerse myself into the culture.
And I'm looking forward to much of the Mexico. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You probably got more color than a line. Let me bring you out of here. Okay, nice talking to you as always.
All right.
Bye.
Well, your next caller is at 619. Your mic is
San Diego. Open. San Diego. Who is this? Where you from?
Hey, what's going on, Jay? This is Marshall. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? Real good. You calling for the 619? What part of the, San Diego is that?
Oh, I'm over here in Lemon Grove area, but I grew up in Southeast. I'm born and raised right here, but I used to go down to Mexico quite often. I used to live down there in Job Corps back in the day, and that used to be the spot to go to for clubs when you were underage. You used to hit all the Tijuana spots.
Yeah, so I get
I got a taste of Mexico young, but I'm a little bit older now, and I'm looking at it from the aspect of investment and purchase. So have you did any research on, as far as owning property down there, is there different laws that apply, or is it open for the American market to purchase?
No, that's very interesting, because I'm planning on doing that. But as far as purchasing anything out here, what I know of is that I believe here in Baja California or in Tijuana, they say legally you need a FM3 visa card to have citizenship here, or you have to be a citizen here in order to make a legal purchase. But I'm sure, you know, you could do anything under the table for a certain price, but, you know, if the police catch you, or if they, you know, if it backfires on you, you pretty much shit out of luck. That's their house now, and you just, you know, snooze your lose. But when it comes to property, there is a lot of land that you can buy out here. You can actually build your own house, you know, for a cheap price.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
it's funny.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's funny, because I just came back from Acapulco, or I call it Black Mexico, and I have plans to, you know, start building a house out there in the future. So I'm looking at a few different areas to, you know, start buying property and building up my own house and making connections with people out there and whatnot.
Right. I remember a while back I used to work for Lowe's, and it was a guy dealing something with somebody. I guess you paying him on the table, but he had something going on with some hotel resorts down in Cancun, and he was a white dude, but he was getting his paper. He was like, you know, he was staying in San Diego for a little bit, but all his money was going down there. He was saying there was some ways of doing it, and I didn't know it. That was been years ago. It's been about 5 or 6 years ago.
Typical
I talked to somebody about that. Yeah, and I was trying to figure out what's there. I know I heard they buy through lawyers or something. If you get a lawyer down there, there's a way of purchasing. But as you build your house, man, I'd be interested to see how that goes, because, you know, it's definitely definitely from an investment standpoint, you know. Get your own little mini resort going on down there.
Exactly. Anything is possible, especially if you're American. I mean, money talks. That's one of the biggest things out here. If you have money, money gets you very, very far, you know, to a certain extent. But, yeah, when it comes to buying property, I'm looking into doing that myself as well. But like I said, I have a few different areas that I'm looking at. But if you want to invest property down here, then definitely I'll say if you want, I mean, you can do it either under the table or legally. It doesn't matter. But if you do it under the table, you know, play it at your own risk, and you might benefit from it. But just know if it backfires, damn, you're going to be in a hellhole.
Right, right. Yeah, you lose it all. Yeah, there's a brother down there. There's a brother down there in Brazil, and he's got a little resort, you know, where if people want to come visit, they can come visit, you know. So
yeah, I have him on my Facebook. I forget his name though.
Yeah, so my uncle is an old player from LA. He's worked for the post office and he's an accountant for many years. And one of his buddies actually bought a hotel out there in the Philippines.
Oh, wow.
Buys him a hotel. Yeah. So, yeah, his brother's doing it internationally all over the place, and he went to retire out there. So, that's where it is. When you want to get out the matrix, you know, you want to plan your exit plan, you know. So,
yeah,
that's what I'm in, you know, more or less the investment side and keeping income coming in, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it's all about, too. You know, you always want to have a source of income, you know. But, you know, when you actually have your house, you really don't need to really have too much money because you're pretty much, you're good. You know, you have a roof over your head. You just need to, you know, buy your own food. And you can either get, like, a solar system, you know, set up for your, to run your electricity. So now you're only really paying for, you know, water and food. And that's about it for your living expenses.
Mm-hmm. So simple living down there.
Yeah, it's, I mean, living down here, in my experience, you know, is, I can't complain. I haven't had any complaints yet, you know, as far as living. I'm good right now, you know, and I can travel within, you know, the nation of Mexico.
Okay. Yeah, that's good stuff, man. One of these days, too, once I get settled down a little bit, I'm going to come down and visit.
Yeah, let me know if I don't know if you're on my Facebook, but definitely send me a friend request. And if you have any questions, you know, let me know. I'll add you to my, you know, Mexico group, and you can see all of my, you know, public photos, you know, and all that good stuff and updates.
Okay, cool. Cool stuff, man. Nice talking to you.
Well, Jadian, you got a bunch of callers here, but we got 90 seconds left, so.
Oh, my God.
Wrap
that's
it up
it?
This week.
Okay.
Wrap
man,
it up
well,
this week, so. Go ahead.
For all the callers out there, I'm sorry if I couldn't speak to you tonight. I would have loved to hear what you have to say. Tune in next week, I believe, you know, with my man, the host right here, V. And if you guys don't have me on Facebook, add me. Feel free to ask me questions and, you know, anything, you know, just is open mic pretty much for me. But go to my YouTube videos. You can type in Black Man in Mexico and you'll see pretty much me. And I have my Facebook on all of the videos. So. Just add me, send a request, and I'll link you up.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jadian. See you next Thursday.
your little delicate heart and just squish it. My crime spree's been intimate. Rhyme schemes is intricate. My realm is a zone unknown that's rarely visited. Yeah, you got skills, little, but they limited. Huh, take the skill right here and get limitless. Earth is just some dirt. The universe is infinite. My words are just seeds that sprout inside the spirit. It's the ghetto's a disease that feeds on the dispirited. God, help us out here. Send us a little miracle. Send us a little spiritual healing for all the killing Nick. West Coast drama that shot straight through the ceiling. Handguns and rifles in the truck. This shit rough. My only advice, when you get up, live it up. Cause nothing the devil gathers up could add up to us. I'm bad, and if you mad again, I don't give a fuck.
You know we gon' ride for that West Coast drama. That's till the day I die,
to a bed that was craftmatic when I'm holding an automatic. Attracted to static cause the thing calling me clean. Cause I spit on these rappers just like a washing machine. The flow is still cold like the wind chill. Shots to make your head turn like a windmill. In the hood when they busted the sun up, try to run up and the end would take your one up. This ain't Mario Brothers, this ain't no video game, but they sticky for your cash and your two chains. How you like me now? Profound lyricist, but still on the underground. So determined and underrated and underexposed. But when it's drama, I keep a cannon for all of my foes. And I put that on my mama. Still gon' ride out for that West Coast drama.
You know we gon' ride for that West Coast drama. That's till the day
again, my friend, Mo Preacher called Thug Life Outlaw Immortal. My boy Rhyme Scheme, the whole rest of the team, all the brothers locked down. Yeah, got the streets on rock, we got the streets on rock. Woo! Let's get it in, boy. Hey, buy me a drink. Where the Hennessy at? Come on, man. Come to the bar, man. Stop playing. Gonna be rich. Come on.